What an amazing God we serve. That would buy us spend an infinite amount of worth in the blood of Jesus Christ for something that's worthless. And in doing so, place on that infinite worth. We who were dead in our trespasses and sins were not worth saving. None of us. And Christ in his blood gave himself for us, and in that makes this group of people, born again believers in Jesus Christ, gathering all over the world today, priceless. What a God. I just want you to look around the room and I want you to see priceless in these people that he has redeemed. We have an amazing honor today that God is here to talk to us through his word. And we have that honor every single Sunday because we have his word. But this Sunday, our brother Obed Masao is going to come and preach to us. For those of you that's new to fellowship or might be visiting, Obed is from Orissa. He was born in Oriya. He's from India. He's born in Orissa, India. And then he does most of his ministry in Telangana, which is in another state in India. Multiple people here from fellowship has been over there over the last decade multiple times to encourage the saints there as he comes here and encourages us. It's a privilege to have Obed here today. And I want to tell you about the coward that he is as I introduce him. I want to tell you about what a coward Obed is. And this is straight from the horse's mouth. He got information this week about some dear saints that a friend of his, Brother Kim from India, who helped train Obed in the ministry back in the early 80s. Those of you have been there, two different trips, we was able to meet Kim. So some of you have been able to meet Kim and his youth pastor back in the 80s, Lim. But Kim was there training Obed in the ministry. Obed needed a lot of training, right? He was a young man, just saved, and knew he wanted to share the gospel in a dark country. And Kim was there from India to share the gospel in a dark country. And they went to prepare for a children's ministry into a village. And the men of the village said, "Never come back, and if and when you do, we're going to kill you." Now, if you get that here, you call the police. You get that as a Christian in India, there's nobody to call, right? So Obed wisely, some would say, says, "Well, there's lots of villages. Let's pick a different one out." And Kim, who is about the size stature, big in heart. And Kim says, "Obed, you're going to die someday, right? Are you going to die?" And Obed, who would have been 30, early 30s, late 20s, he said, "Yeah, I'm going to die." He says, "Why not tomorrow?" "Because they're all going to die. Everyone in that village is going to die. And if we don't go, nobody else is going to go. So why don't we just go and die tomorrow?" And so Obed, the coward that he was, changed his mind. And God empowered him through his spirit, and Kim and Obed walked into this village with some fruit for kids and some little tracts and shared the gospel. And the chief of the village, when he saw the gift, said, "Yeah, come on in. Come on in." And God did a work in that village. I don't know how many of them were saved, but Obed and Kim obviously wasn't killed. I'd share that not to belittle Obed, but to show those of us that hold him in high esteem, he's just like us. He's exactly like. He's a man just like every one of us, and he has his good days and his bad days, and he's persevering by faith through the grace of God. So Obed, if you would come and through God's Spirit give us his word from his word.
each one of you to please bow your heads and close your eyes for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we continue to worship you, praise you, bless your holy name. Lord, we unite our hearts together. And Lord, we kiss your holy feet. You are our true God, triune God, everlasting God. We just bow down before you, humble ourselves before you. And Lord, we worship you, praise you, and thank you. We do not have proper words. We do not have right kind of language to praise you and thank you and to describe you. You are beyond our description. You are beyond our imagination. Great God, only one God, we thank you and praise you. Heavenly Father, we thank you because we know you. We thank you because we belong to you. You are our Father and we are your children. We just love you, praise you, and thank you. Most holy God, King of kings and Lord of lords, we just bow before you and thank you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for this day in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together to your holy sanctuary to worship you together. We thank you for all your blessings and benefits in our lives. We are so unworthy, foolish, weak, habitual sinners. But Lord, we thank you for your grace upon each one of us. Thank you, Lord, for this fellowship of your people. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Your word is true. Your word is living. Your word is powerful, everlasting. We thank you for your word. I personally thank you, Lord, for bringing me all the way from India to this place. Lord, I thank you, I thank you, and I thank you. Heavenly Father, you know me. You know my weakness, my foolishness, my limitation. As I stand before your people, I need you. I need you, Lord. Please hide me behind your cross. You please manifest yourself in our midst. Speak to your people. Strengthen us. Sanctify us. Draw us closer to you. I thank you for this church. And I pray for this church. Not because of my prayer, but Lord, for your namesake and for your glory. Please continue to make this church a greater channel of blessing to many people, not only here, but also in other countries of this world. Lord, help us to enjoy your word today. We pray and praise in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. First of all, I want to, Brother Joss, thank you. I'm glad to see you. I want to greet each one of you in the name of Jesus. It's my joy and it's my privilege to be with you this morning, to worship our living God together with you. This morning, my message is mostly autobiographical. don't expect a message with theological points, a big explanation, spiritual explanation. But I will tell you some of the stories from my life. And I want to give a title for my message, a caption for my message. If I give a title to my message, it will be like Glimpses of His Grace. Glimpses of His Grace. I want to inform you that my age is 70 years, 70. And I'm just on the border. Any day, I will go to the other side, other shore. I am in grace period, I should say. My time is over, but I'm on the grace. And I'm happy to inform you that coming January, I will be completing my 50 years of full-time ministry. 50 years of full-time ministry. I came to the ministry like a monkey. Nothing was there, untrained. Low educated, from a rural village. And by His grace, I will be completing my 50 years of ministry in coming January. So keeping these two things in my mind, I want to share with you some of my experiences in my life and in the ministry. Number one. I came to the ministry in 1973, January 28, and my ministry was to go on bicycle every day, take a heavy load of tracks and go on bicycles, go from house to house, village to village, and hand out gospel tracts. One day I ate my breakfast, and I loaded my bicycle with tracts and went to village. Back to my base to eat my lunch. And I had to pass a village, another village. At the end of the village, there were some young people playing. When they saw me, they shouted and said, "Oh, man, come here." I expected some problem. If I go there will be some problem. But if I don't go, there will be more problem. So I had to go there. As soon as I reached there, one man caught me by my shirt collar, and he started pushing me back and forth. Another man caught my bicycle. Another man took away my tract bundle. They all gathered together and they shouted and said, "Did you come to our village yesterday?" I said, "Yes." "Did you distribute, hand out Christian literature to every home of our village?" "Yes." "Why did you do that? Don't you know that we are Hindus? Why did you do that? Who gave you permission?" I said, "Nobody gave me permission. My Bible says that go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." So I gave. They shouted. They became very angry. One man shouted and said, "Come on, let us kill him. Bring some kerosene. Let us pour on him and burn him. Then another man said, no, no, let us not kill him that way. Let us put him in a room and bolt the door from outside. Let him die there. So I was in a big problem. What to do? How to escape? In my heart, I just prayed, God, will you please not deliver me from these enemies? From my heart, when I prayed, God did a miracle. An elderly man came and said, what is going on here? They said, blah, 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 blah. Then he said, he is also a young man like you. He gave you some Christian literature. It is up to you to read or to reject. Try to read and understand the truth, what is written in there. If you don't like, just throw it away. Throw them away. Don't do anything. You nowadays read so many literature, different kinds of literature. Sometimes you read dirty literatures, filthy literatures. You try to read and try to understand. Leave them. Don't do anything. So they let me go. My topic is glimpses of his grace. Shall we read 2 Corinthians chapter 12? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 to 10. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. For he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. May God add his blessing to the reading of this scripture portion. May I draw your attention to verse number 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Our topic is, or my topic is, glimpses of his grace. And our scripture portion is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 to 10. And main verse is verse number 9. It says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. I told you one story. Let me tell you another story. The glimpses of his grace. One day, again, I took my bicycle and took my tract bundle and went out to villages to give gospel. And that day I had to cross a river. The water level was somewhere here, this much. So it was easy for me to cross that river and go to other side to different villages. After doing my job or handing out gospel tracts, I wanted to come back to my base. And about 3 o'clock, I just got into that river again with my bicycle on my shoulder and a tract bundle on my other shoulder. As I was trying to cross, the water level was not this much. It came to this much here, 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 here. So I did not know about that. It seems the rivers that are connected to the sea, morning the water level will be low. And it in the afternoon, it will become high, I believe. I did not know about that. So it came up and up, and I started drowning. Me and my bicycle and track bundle, I was going down and down. I was getting drowned. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. There was nobody to help me. So I went and went and went and went. Fortunately, there was a tree sitting there, this side. From somewhere, that tree came, and it got stuck there. So I came and came and came, and I got stuck there. And afterwards, I somehow got out of that water. The glimpses of His grace, my grace is sufficient for thee. One more story. Today I will tell you only stories of my life. Another day, I took my tract bundle, went to a village, handing out gospel tracts to every house. When I went to a particular house, a big dog of this size came roaring towards me, like a lion. Just came up to here. I had no other way to escape. And I said, "Lord Jesus, help me." And that dog just stood there like that. Hallelujah. Glimpses of His grace. One more story. I live in a state called Telangana. My native state is Orissa. Once I went to Orissa with my family. And after finishing my work there, I started returning back to Hyderabad. I had just enough for train ticket. Not even 1 rupee more. Just enough. I had to travel in the night. And in that afternoon, I had some unavoidable thing. I had to buy something. It was unavoidable. So I spent 5 rupees from that amount. I had nothing extra. So I needed 5 rupees to buy my train ticket for me and for my family members. I had no money. And I went out with one of my friends and sat on a ground, big ground, and I was talking to him. I never told about my need. Had I told him, he would have given me 100 rupees, but I did not tell. Inside was I was praying, "God, please help me. I have to travel this evening. I need money, 5 rupees for my train ticket." I was praying and talking to him, praying and talking to him. And at about that distance, I saw a small piece of paper. It was looking like the cover of a cigarette packet. Another side, it was looking like a 5 rupee bill. So I just got up and went there to clear my doubts. I picked up, and when I dusted it, it was 5-rupee note. Hallelujah. Glimpses of his grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. Hyderabad is a big city. One day I was going somewhere on my bicycle. Those days I had an old bicycle, nothing more than that. I was going on my old bicycle. I was in need of just 2 rupees. I was riding my bicycle and I was praying, God, I need 2 rupees today. I need 2 rupees. And the traffic light showed red. Red light came, so I stopped there. When I stopped there, I saw 2-rupee bill. Hallelujah. Glimpses of his grace. And my Bible says, my grace is sufficient for thee. One day, we did not have anything at home. No money, no vegetable, nothing. We had just small amount of rice. And I asked my wife to just boil it. Let us add some hot water and drink it. It's okay, I said. Then one of my neighbors brought some leaves to cook. Leaves, green leaves. And my wife said, here is rice and here is green leaves, but we badly need some onions to cook these green leaves. I said, we don't have onions, what to do? Then I went to the bathroom. We had a common bathroom for 3 neighbors, me and other neighbors. That day, I did not have soap to take a bath. There were other soaps from my neighbors. If I shut the door and inside use their soap, nobody is going to ask me. But I prayed there, God, I'm not going to use their soaps. And you please provide me with a soap, bathing soap. You have to provide. So somehow I poured the water and I just wiped out and came. And after some time, I took my bicycle to visit one dear Christian family. I went there. I shared something from the Bible. I prayed and I was about to come out. Then the dear sister gave me a small packet. Small packet. She said, brother, you please take this. Don't open on the way. Give it to sister, my wife. So I faithfully brought that packet and gave to my wife. You know, when she opened, to our great surprise, she found some pieces of onions and bathing soap. Hallelujah. Glimpses of his grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. I told you that I'm in my 70th year. And I have been in the ministry for the last 50 years. And his grace is sufficient for me. One time I was in Nebraska. I was going on my morning walk. And one car was coming from opposite. As I was going this way, this car just stopped by my side. And he rolled down his glass, window glass, and said, are you not Obed from India? I said, yes, sir, I'm from India, I'm Obed. Oh, I'm glad to see you. I heard about you. Where are you? Where do you stay? I said, I stay with so-and-so pastor. I'm going to see you tomorrow. So I didn't know why he wanted to see me. So next day he came and he gave me $500. My grace is sufficient for thee. Glimpses of his grace. Another time I came to America, we need a lot of money for ministry, but I learned not to ask anybody. God taught me in a very specific way in this regard, in this area. But I came with a target. God, I need this much, $22,000, I think, that time. I put a target before the Lord. Lord, I need $22,000 before I leave America. So I visited churches, different churches. Different churches gave me love offering. It came to $21,400. This afternoon, I have to leave India. I have to leave for India, leave America. Then while I was packing my suitcase, I said, God, I prayed for 22,000. So far, you have provided me with 21,400, 600 lacking. Will you not please provide me another $600? So as I was packing, one dear Christian came to Jim's house. I was at Jim's house that time. He said, is there Brother Obed? Yes, he is inside, he is packing. Yesterday he came to our village. I thought of giving some money, but I did not have money right in my hand, so I could not give. Today I came with that money, and he handed me out. You know how much? 600. Glimpses of his grace, and my Bible says, my grace is sufficient for thee. I can go on and on and on and on, full of stories of grace, God's grace. Long, long back, I got a strange kind of sickness. Very strange kind of sickness. I was becoming weak and weak and weak. And I was going down and down. I went to different doctors. I went to different hospitals. I used different kinds of medicines, but I was not healed. I did not see any positive result. My people thought that I was going to die. And I also thought that I was going to die. Then I wanted to take a few days to fast and pray and wait upon the Lord. So I took a few days and I fasted and prayed and read my Bible. And during that time, I got this scripture portion. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 to 10. And through this scripture portion, God spoke to me. My grace is sufficient for thee. So from that day onwards, I tried, I practiced, I cultivated the habit of waiting upon the Lord for grace. I need this, I need this, I need this. But for all these things, I need the grace of God. I have two humble questions, very simple questions. How many of you are in needs today? N-E-E-D, needs today. May I see your hands? Needs. Brother David is raising his hand like this. How many of you are in needs? May I see your hands? Good. I am in many needs. We are in needs. If you say that you don't need anything, then you are a blessed man or blessed woman. Blessed man or blessed woman. We are in needs, small needs or big needs. Secondly, how many of you are in problems? May I see your hands? Problems? Brother Jonathan, you don't have any problems? Yes, yeah. Problems. If you don't have problem, you are a blessed, blessed, blessed man. Problems. All of us have some problem or the other. Big problems or small problems. Wherever I go, very often I tell that I travel around with a suitcase full of problems. I may be looking good, but inside I have problems, sorrows, needs, problems. Suitcase full of problems. Airlines people, they allowed only 2 suitcases. Otherwise, would have brought more. Problems and needs. Suppose we are sitting here like this, fellowshipping with one another, singing unto the Lord, meditating upon the word of God. We are in God's presence. Suppose suddenly Jesus Christ will come and stand right here. How wonderful it would be. Shining, bright, with a white garment, handsome, he will come and stand here. And naturally, we all will stand up and bow down before him, try to worship him. And Jesus Christ will say, thank you, please sit down. I'm in a hurry. I'm in a very tight schedule. I was in California just for half an hour. And I went from there, I went to Atlanta. I was there only for half an hour. I came here, I will give only half an hour to you. From here, I have to go to India, and from there, I will go back to heaven. I know you have many problems and needs. I don't have time to consider your needs and problems. No time. But please do one thing. You take, each one of you, take a piece of paper, take your pen, and write down. First write your name. First write your name, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, problem, needs, problem, needs, problem, needs, problem, needs. What will you write? Brother, what will you write? Be frank. Yeah. Yeah.
There's some business things that we're trying to decide this week, so that's a problem.
Yes, that is true. It's a problem. There's nothing wrong to write down. Right? Nothing wrong. Brother Isaiah Cornelius, what will you write? You have 5 children, give me another 5, Lord. What will you write? What is your need? What is your problem? See, some of you need house. It's a need. Write down. Some of you are sick. God, give me good health. Write down. Some of you are in financial need. God, I need $20,000. Write down. Nothing wrong. It's a problem. It's a need. But you know, as for me, I will say like this, Lord Jesus, you are very busy. You have no time. I'm sorry, I also do not have time. Because my needs and problems are many. It will take a lot of time to write down all those things. So Lord Jesus, please forgive me. I'm not going to write all these things. But I'm going to write just one word. What is that word you know? G-R-A-C-E. Lord, I want to write just one word, grace. And you Take my paper, go back to heaven, and consider my case. I need so many things, but Lord, I need your grace. Look at me. I'm very much sure that you know the author of this book, 2 Corinthians. Who wrote this book? Come on, please. Paul, very simple. Paul wrote this book. And while writing, in chapter number 12, verse number 2, he says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Paul says, I knew a man about 14 years ago. Who could be that man whom Paul knew about 14 years ago? Who could be this man that Paul knew? Come on. Sorry? This man is none other than Paul himself. He knew a man. That means he is talking about himself. He is not trying to show forth himself. He is not trying to make a big publicity about himself. He wants to stay behind the curtain, and he is trying to tell about himself. What does he say? He says, I knew a man about 14 years ago who was taken to the third heaven. And what is this third heaven? This third heaven is nothing but the heaven itself. So Paul was taken to heaven, the place where God lives. Paul got the opportunity, got the privilege, got the time to go to heaven. Paul was taken to heaven. And he is not coming up openly. I knew a man about 14 years ago. And what happened to him when he was taken to the third heaven? He heard unspeakable words. And he saw revelations. He saw revelations, many revelations. And verse number 7 it says, verse number 7 it says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He was taken to third heaven. He heard unspeakable words, and he saw revelation after revelation, and lest he should be proud, he should be exalted above measure. God, or he was, allowed a thorn in his flesh. He was given a thorn in his flesh, and the thorn was buffeting him. When I read this verse in English, I could not understand clearly about the meaning of buffeting. I referred to Uriah Bible, still I could not understand. I referred to dictionary, it did not satisfy me. What is the real clear meaning of the word buffeting? And once when I went to Hyderabad, I could understand the meaning of the word buffeting. Once in Hyderabad, went to a gymnasium, big gymnasium, big hall like this. And I saw the bags of sand. S-A-N-D, sand. Bags of sand hanging here and there. Bags of sand. And in a few minutes, some young people came one by one. They had their gloves on their hands, and each one started punching that bag. Punching, hitting, blowing, blow, 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 hit, 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 punch, punch, punch. Then after about 1 hour or so, after becoming tired, they left one by one, buffeting. Paul was given a thorn in his flesh, which was buffeting him, hitting him, blow after blow, day and night. Paul, though he was a great man of God, servant of God, he did great ministry, he was given a thorn in his flesh, which was buffeting him day and night. I don't find that in my Bible, but I guess he was crying maybe, not able to bear the pain. It was very painful, unbearable. And he went to the Lord and said, Lord, please take it away from me. The Lord did not take it away. Again he prayed, God, I am not able to bear it. It is unbearable, it is very painful. Please take it away. God did not take it away. Again he went and prayed. My Bible says that he prayed thrice. He prayed and prayed and requested God to take it away from his body. It was very painful. But God said, Mr. Paul, look at me. I know that the thorn is buffeting you. I know that you are not able to bear this pain, unbearable. I know that you are crying day and night. And please remember that I am not going to take it away from you. I am not going to take it away from you. But rather, I want to give you a tonic. And when your pain becomes unbearable, you take that tonic, it will help you, it will subside you. What is that tonic? Tonic of grace. Grace. God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Grace. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, I said I will tell you only stories today from my experience, from my life. It's not a deep message. It's not a powerful message. But I want to leave this word with you, grace. If you have any problems, if you are in any need, take this word, grace, and apply it to your personal life. Apply it to your family life. That will be sufficient for you. I have many needs. I have many problems. I cry and cry. I'm discouraged. But I said, God, I need your grace. I need this. I need this. I have this problem. I have this problem. But first of all, I need your grace. Give me your grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. I have been in the ministry for the last 50 years. My age is 70 years. And God.